This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Is it painful, Tony?
And Chris Ello.
I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Phil came up with the low-hanging fruit. Snagged that answer to the trivia question and snagged himself four tickets to the Ultrastar Cinemas Troy Aikman most people know. Began his college career at Oklahoma before he went to UCLA. So good job on that one, Phil. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr.'s off today. We have another hour before we get to Thursday night football, Colts and Texans. I'm sharing a little game info with you in case you're a crazy fantasy player. And it's getting to be that time of season now where the games matter, right?
Yes, it does.
Unless you're my team and you're 1-10. But T.Y. Hilton is on a lot of people's roster, and I know that the question whether or not he's going to play tonight. It sure looks like he's going to play. He's out on the field. He's warming up, and it says he's active and he's going to play. So don't put him in your don't put him in your lineup, and then he doesn't produce for you and blame me.
Oh, I will.
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. It sure looks like he's going to play tonight for the Colts. So if you have T.Y. Hilton and you want to get him in your lineup, you have an hour to do so. There was the interesting thing in the NFL today was, and we're going to get to it in about 15 minutes. Brent Sobleski is going to join us from Bleacher Report, talk a little bit more about the situation. But it is certainly caught everybody's eye. I think Myles Garrett, and everybody now knows who Myles Garrett is, right?
Yep.
Or have you forgotten already? Right? It's only a week ago. Now, it's been a week since that's happened.
This has gotten the NFL's attention more than anything recently that I can remember.
But I'm saying there's a lot of people out there who don't already know the name Myles Garrett. They just know there was a guy who hit somebody with a helmet. That's who it is. Anyway, today, apparently, according to all these sources and confirmed by many, many people, Myles Garrett accused Mason Rudolph, who was the guy hit in the head with the helmet, the quarterback of the Steelers. Yep. Myles Garrett now accused Mason Rudolph of a racial slur.
There's an update on what's going on with this story.
Okay, well, I want the update in just a second, but let me just catch people up. So, but Myles Garrett was in the middle of his appeal, which has been denied. Basically, the suspension for him for the end of the season has been upheld, and it's still indefinite as to when Myles Garrett's going to come back. But the fact that he has apparently now claimed that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur has certainly upset the Mason Rudolph camp. His lawyers and people are saying, you know, this is almost as bad as hitting him in the helmet because this is besmirching his name. And
I'm getting a little annoyed with the Mason Rudolph apologists.
You can. I'm just don't shoot the messenger.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what's going on first. Now there's quite a few people who think, well, how could this possibly be true? Why wouldn't Myles Garrett have mentioned this right away when it happened? So he's playing the race card, but it sure seems like he's playing it way too late. And apparently the NFL's done a little investigating into this and hasn't found anything. Now,
yeah.
Do you have any more information beyond
that? I do. A lot of people were asked this morning, a lot of players, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield, they were all asked about if you've heard this is what happened on the field, and they were all like, shocked that this question was being asked. This is the first they've heard of this. Well, Myles Garrett just tweeted something that I actually thought right when I heard that this leaked from the meeting that he had yesterday with the NFL. But he is saying that here's a statement that he tweeted. I was assured that the hearing was space that afforded the opportunity to speak openly and honestly about the incident that led to my suspension. This was not meant for public dissemination, nor was it a convenient attempt to justify my actions or restore my image in the eyes of those I disappointed. I know what I heard. Whether my opponent's comment was born out of frustration or ignorance, I cannot say, but his actions do not excuse my lack of restraint in the moment, and I truly regret the impact this has had on the league, the Browns, and our devoted fans. I actually thought about that right as I heard about it, because shouldn't that meeting be private?
Yeah, of course it should, but nothing's private anymore.
So whoever
and you
leaked
almost
this
need to know that
should be
going
fired.
In.
Whoever leaked this
of
should be fired.
Of course they should. Just like everybody should be fired who leaks all stories, but it never happens.
But it's making Myles Garrett now look like a liar.
How much stuff have you told people that you really probably shouldn't have told them about?
Oh gosh, in my life?
Yeah.
A lot?
Right.
A lot?
Exactly. We all do it. We all do.
But
we
if
all,
I were to go
we're
to
all
a...
bubbling with information and we want everybody else to know, even though we're not supposed to tell anybody. So the fact that somebody leaked this story should really be no surprise to Myles Garrett. I'm sorry.
No, it should be, because if I were to have a disciplinary meeting with the bosses here at Entercom and I said something in the meeting that I thought to be true, thinking it was going to stay in that meeting, and then all of a sudden people building asking me about this, I would be very upset at all of it.
All right. So Myles Garrett's upset. So is Mason Rudolph, and so is everybody still from that incident a week ago. But the suspension's hauled. Myles Garrett not coming back anytime soon. The NFL did reduce Marquise Pouncey's suspension. He's the Steeler who kicked Myles Garrett and punched him a few times. They have reduced his suspension from 3 games to 2 games.
They kept the fine the same, though. $35,000 around.
Right. You know what his fine is? $35,096. Somebody's got to explain to me how they figured that out.
We asked Greg Camarillo, our NFL guy, a while back, and I can't remember what he said.
Did he have
it was like a percentage or something.
Some percentage of your contract or something? Okay.
Now, this is why I'm not into Mason Rudolph, too, because Mason Rudolph's attorney, Timothy Younger, had responded to Myles Garrett's accusations that were supposed to be kept quiet, but he wrote, according to ESPN, in his appeal, Myles Garrett falsely asserted that Mason Rudolph uttered a racial slur towards him prior to swinging a helmet at Mason's uncovered head in a desperate attempt to mitigate his suspension. This is a lie. This false allegation was never asserted by Garrett in the aftermath of the game, never suggested prior to the hearing, and conspicuously absent in the apology published by the Browns and adopted by Garrett. We don't need to go through the rest of it. They're pretty much pointing fingers at Myles Garrett now.
They're saying Myles Garrett made this up to try and get out of...
But it doesn't help him that no one on the field is saying that they heard this.
No, everybody seems pretty surprised to hear this information. So it has all the makings of, you know, Myles Garrett kind of hoping for a long shot to,
you think
to
he...
kind of come through and hoping that nobody would hear about it. But you know what? Everybody hears about stuff now. So you got to know that if you're going to accuse somebody of racism,
you have to have proof.
Racial comments... Well, you don't have to necessarily have proof. You can accuse whatever you want, but you're going to have to deal with the fallout of it because it's probably going to get out. That's the unfortunate thing that Myles Garrett is learning right now.
I think that's...
I didn't say it was right.
I know, but he said that in the confidence of that room, and now it's going to ruin his name.
Everything.
It's going to ruin his name now.
Myles Garrett's name? It's not already ruined?
Well, this is going to be even further because now you're bringing race into it.
Myles Garrett's name is going to take
I think
a
people
for
are
going to
forget.
Long time.
Yes, but adding this to it and then having people say that he's lying about Mason Rudolph, and Mason Rudolph is kind of just looking like the guy who's all good.
I'm
in this
not
whole
sure
thing.
That he's lying about Mason Rudolph. I can't be sure one way or the other whether Mason Rudolph yelled something or not during that melee.
He may
the
have only heard people, something.
The well, look, the only people that would honestly you'd be able to ask. That were there.
The referee and
the referee
other players.
And two Pittsburgh Steeler players
yeah.
who are very unlikely to say, oh, yeah, I heard Mason say that.
We actually have Cam Hayward of the Steelers. Thomas is looking around like, I don't actually have Cam Hayward of the Steelers. Do we have it, Thomas?
We'll play it when we get it.
Okay.
All right. Brent Sobleski from Bleacher Report Boy, that was well said. He is going to be joining the program shortly, and we'll ask him about this whole situation. He covers the NFL and focuses a lot on the Cleveland Browns, so we'll get his thoughts on this. Coming up also, our biggest fan announcement. If your name is called here in the next 15 minutes or so, you're going to win a whole bunch of stuff, including a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan's Night at SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Also get entered into our grand prize, the Vegas Getaway, and all the stuff that goes with that. So listen up for your name. Listen up for a quick timeout, a quick break, and then we're going to have Brent Sobleski, and we'll get a little further deeper into this Myles Garrett controversy because it's taking on a life of its own now, a week after the fact. I'm Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is out today. And this is San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
He made a bad mistake, but he never crossed the line when he talked about racial slur.
That was Pittsburgh Steelers Cam Hayward saying, no, Mason never crossed the line with any kind of racial slur. The NFL has found no evidence of any racial slur, even though Myles Garrett apparently... I wouldn't even say apparently, since Myles Garrett's pretty much admitting to the fact that he has accused Mason Rudolph of using a racial slur.
But he shouldn't have had to do that because the NFL should have never told anyone.
You're right, but you're not realistic. All right, let's see what Brent Sobleski has to think about all this. Great writer for Bleacher Report, NFL, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. How are you today, Brent? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I got to admit that music coming in out of the bank sounded almost like Bell Biv DeVille. I'm kind of feeling a 90s vibe, gentlemen.
We sometimes try to put the 90s in there.
Yeah, we throw a little of every decade in to try and please all of our, you know, wide range of listeners out there. Brent, I guess it's just kind of in general, this latest development in the Myles Garrett situation. His suspension's upheld. Pouncey's is reduced. But the thing that catches everybody's eye is that now Garrett was accusing, apparently, Rudolph of using a racial slur. What is your take? Where do you sit on this right now?
I want to include something real quick, gentlemen, and I don't want to be that guy, but literally within minutes of us coming on the air, Myles Garrett released a statement. And
yes.
So if you give me I'll read. Oh, okay, you read it. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah,
so.
We read it on the air. Sorry.
I wanted to make sure everyone knew all the information that's available to them. And
right.
So what came from Myles Garrett is he doubled down. He thought that it was a situation where he can air his grievances, that they wouldn't be made public, and obviously that's not the case. And everything got out there. Now, I heard the quote from Cam Hayward that Mason Rudolph didn't say anything that was inappropriate. Well, first of all, you weren't even on the field, Cam, so I don't know why you're making that statement. If it was David DeCastro or Marquise Pouncey or at least one of the players that was involved in the entanglement, that would carry far more weight. So I don't take that much into what he stated. With that said, and this is what's going to be the key part of all of this, no matter how we shape it, it's absolutely inexcusable what Myles Garrett did. Even in his statement, he said so. And by doing such, it, for lack of a better term, incriminates himself and allows the league to take the type of substantive action that they did for disciplinary reasons. And there's two things that I want to point out. First of all, when it comes to the length of the suspension, I know it's quote-unquote indefinite. In reality, it's six games plus, meaning he will be suspended for the final six games of the regular season, and the league want to keep it open-ended simply because they don't want to have Myles Garrett come in like the conquering hero in the postseason in case the Browns were to make a postseason run here late in the year. So that's why you keep it in that regard. That was the main purpose, in my opinion. Now, second of all, there's a lot of discussion about indefinite suspension and how the league is incapable of doing so based on an on-field incident because of language within the CBA. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. I spent the last hour before we came on here trying to read the CBA. I did not find any specific language that states that. The closest I came was when it came to club discipline specific to the team where they cannot suspend a player for a longer period than four games. That does not apply to the league.
Okay.
And its disciplinary action. So I think we're getting kind of caught up in all these supposed factors that may not necessarily be the case, and in certain instances might be outright false.
Brent, I think you're right, and a lot of, you know, there's so much stuff being piled on top of the story that we're forgetting about just the incident itself to a certain extent, that what Myles Garrett did, it doesn't honestly matter whatever he says or his excuse might or might not be. It was inexcusable what he did, and he's going to have to definitely pay the price for it. I'm just curious, just throwing it out there for you, do you hold Mason Rudolph a little more accountable in this situation than he's being held accountable so far, or not?
I would have suspended him a game, if you're asking me personally. Okay. And the reason why is this. What he necessarily did or did not do doesn't play a factor unto itself in a vacuum where you would suspend the player. But you have to take the entire situation under consideration and what led to the eventual helmet being weaponized. Now, it doesn't matter what Mason Rudolph says. I want to be completely plain about that. What he did leading up to that point, it does not excuse anything Myles Garrett did. That stands unto itself. Mm-hmm. With that said, he instigated this blow up not once, but twice. Furthermore, there's video evidence that he was trying to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off. He was trying to hold him to the ground. He either inadvertently or purposefully kicked him in a region that most men will not accept.
And then you add in
the potential X factor of what may or may not have been said. And so because he continued to flare the situation and knowing the outlook for the NFL as a whole with this circumstance, to me it would have made sense to suspend him for one game, let him cool down, and everyone can move on from this point. And I want to point something out about the Myles Garrett suspension and it being that six games plus. A lot of people think of it's extreme because it's an on-field incident. I will point out to two things very quickly to show that it's within the parameters of what the NFL has set forth previously. Albert Haynesworth, who we all remember the stomp on Andre Girard, the center from the Dallas Cowboys, got 5 games, okay? Vontaze Burfict this year was suspended for the rest of the league year, which will ultimately work out as 12-plus games. So if he gets 6-plus, you're ultimately within the range of what the NFL already set forth.
That is very true. Brent Sobleski here, Bleacher Report on 97.3 The Fan now. I've listened to a lot of audio from Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., other guys on the Browns team, and it didn't immediately hit me that they were really backing up Myles Garrett and what he said. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a little strange that the teammates aren't coming to his side a little bit more?
Well, it's inexcusable. And what needed to be said was said immediately at the moment. And I know a lot of people felt that Baker should have been more supportive of his teammate, and he still can be. Look, let's be honest here. Myles Garrett made a major mistake. It's something that could have turned into something far worse than it actually did. I mean, let's be honest. He's 6'4", 272 pounds, and built like a Greek god. You swing a football helmet, bad things could happen. Fortunately, that was not the case. The NFL cannot allow that or that perception to be out there. So when it comes to the team, immediately in that moment or just directly after, you cannot condone anything or bring more onto yourself as a franchise. Now, stating that, knowing that they didn't absolve him of any wrongdoing, he's still your teammate, and you still support him. And for most of Myles Garrett's career, anyone that's followed him and who he is as a person, this seems out of character. He's an introverted person. Everyone can go read stories about how he loves poetry and Journey.
Dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs, absolutely. So we can say, and let's look at where other players are around the league. I mean, for crying and nitly, Richie Incognito, still in the league, dominating as an all-pro caliber guard. This will be blown over after a year, and we can continue to watch how Myles Garrett develops. And make no mistake, gentlemen, a year or two from now, he's going to be a $100 million defender because someone's going to be willing to pay for his services.
That wouldn't surprise me one bit. Brent, I wish we had a little more time to get into some other NFL doings. We will do so next time we have the good fortune of having you on the program. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the games this weekend, tonight, and thanks for your insight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and everyone enjoy the game tonight as well.
You betcha. There he is, Brent Sobleski from Bleacher Report. And listen up, people, because... Hello, Scraby.
That may have been the worst moment I've had yet.
No, it isn't.
You set me up perfectly.
And the worst moment was that one when you went to read your own.
What's up, Scraby?
Went to do your own commercial and you opened the mic and said, "What's up, Scraby?" to yourself.
Yeah, I know.
That is still your all-timer.
Well, that one came close because you set me up perfectly, and I was supposed to say, Justin Roscoe, you are our biggest fan. You have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. You've won a family four-pack of tickets to 97.3 The Fan Night at the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint, and you can be entered to win our grand prize, or you will be, a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at the uniquely Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and a two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure to sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter. Justin Roscoe, 10 minutes starts now.
All right, Justin, good luck. Hope we get a winner out of that today, our biggest fan contest. And if you haven't signed up, come on, get over there to 973thefansd.com/biggestfan.
Are you going to have a blog tomorrow? On that same very website you just announced?
I used the excuse of my thumb surgery last week to not type a blog, and I thought it was a good excuse. Well, I mean, I'm without an appendage.
You can talk to text.
Yeah, tell Siri to do it.
I wouldn't know how to begin doing that. I honestly wouldn't.
Siri's going to write it down for you?
Siri will get everything wrong. I mean, look, if I'm doing a blog, it's going to include a lot of sports names and athletes' names. Siri doesn't know how to spell these things.
What are you writing about?
Well, it doesn't matter, but I mean, if I'm writing about athletes. But no, I probably will have a blog tomorrow. I'll just kind of hunt and peck on the keyboard and try to put one together. Because my blog, because I know people get up on Friday morning and really... It's kind of the number one thing on their mind.
I really do. I appreciate your blog on Fridays. I was actually very disappointed that we didn't have one last week. I understand why we didn't.
Yeah.
But I was disappointed because I think you should write about McCaffrey becoming a 99er.
We have much, much more on that huge breaking story when we come back. It's in the Big Five as the Gwynn and Chris program, sans Tony Gwynn today, continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. All right, we just went from the 90s last intro music to, what is this, the 60s?
I don't know.
Sounds like the Beach Boys type of music.
It's a banjo for sure.
Thank you, Scraby.
You're welcome.
More information I don't need. At 4:37 here on a Thursday afternoon, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., enjoying a well-deserved day off. He will be back with us tomorrow, and we will be at Scripps Ranch High School tomorrow for our High School Friday show, getting ready for Scripps Ranch playoff game. So if you are a... In that neck of the woods, right around Mira Mesa, Scripps Ranch area, come on by, say hello, shout out, and come on, enjoy a little high school football tomorrow. There, we're deep into the playoffs now. We got last week, Carlsbad beat Cathedral.
Can you believe that?
I was shocked because I watched the first quarter, and Cathedral dominated the first quarter, and I thought Carlsbad was done for. But great job by those kids at Carlsbad to come back and get into the final against Helix, which is Saturday night. So, you know, we love our high school football here on 97.3 The Fan. And tomorrow's program from Scripps Ranch High School, home of the... Adam Klug would have to know this one.
The Falcons?
The Falcons, yes. Adam Klug's favorite team is the Falcons, which drives us all nuts. All right. Yes, there is other news today besides the fact that Christian McCaffrey is now a 99er. But
shocking.
It's going to be part of the Big Five as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As we turn things over to Mr. Scraby.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed all.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
And I am actually... Oh, you were pointing to me. I am actually... going to be passing it over to Mr. Thomas Andrews because I'm filling in for Tony and Thomas is filling in for me.
Oh, so we have to hear your opinions on this stuff today.
I am fired up.
Oh, no. You know, I just wanted to mention, before we get to the Big Five, I love the Big Five. You do a great job on the Big Five. But I was all night last night, all I could get was texts and tweets and calls messages from people about their favorite pies.
Yes.
And my selections of favorite pies. And I'm really starting to think now that the countdown has taken over this show. We only do it on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But whenever we do a non-sports countdown, like last night, people react from all corners of the globe.
I got the same reaction.
Yeah.
Because they all said the same thing I did. Chicken pot pie is not a pie.
All right. Hey, hold on.
Oh, wow.
I got to get my phone because I got like three or four people who said,
okay.
Tell Scraby he doesn't have a clue. Chicken pot pie is amazing. I'm just telling you.
I didn't say it wasn't amazing. I was just saying I thought our list was dessert pies.
And no one said it was. Where'd you come down on that one, Thomas? Chicken pot pie, okay for that list or not?
Well, we said pies. We didn't specify dessert.
Thomas, get out of here.
Attaboy, Thomas.
Get out of here.
The stage is yours. Scraby, be quiet. Thomas, Big Five, let's go.
All right, well, this worked so well for Scraby over the past few days, so if you guys have any Big Five topics, you can find me on Twitter at OddThomas71.
Right.
That's OddThomas71.
Yes, and he needs more followers.
While you're checking out OddThomas71, check out at Matt Scraby on Twitter as well.
All right, nobody joined Scraby's followers.
But do follow Twitter Thomas, OddThomas71.
All right, Southern California's own Ricky Fowler was voted the nicest guy on the PGA Tour by his peers. Here he is talking... on the Golf Digest about that honor.
So I got voted nicest guy. It's a cool honor to be voted nicest by your peers. Something I definitely take pride in. It's good to see some of these other guys on here. I mean, Gary, Jordan, Rory. I mean, Webb should have been higher than five. There's no question about that. J-Day, another great guy. JT, I don't know. I mean, 12's pretty high for him. I mean, he likes talking trash. I noticed Kooch got moved down to 25. We'll be all right.
As I was reading this, I said Southern California's own, but why does Ricky Fowler sound Australian in that?
He does sound kind of Australian in it. You're right. I think he's from Temecula or Marietta.
Yeah.
So, Chris,
yes.
Who is the nicest guy in sports, in your opinion?
Ricky Fowler.
No.
No, I don't know. The nicest guy in sports, I'm going to go back. Can I turn back the clock? Do you mind? I think the nicest athlete ever in the history of sports is Steve Garvey.
Okay.
I grew up in that era, and we had the Garv in here, but Steve Garvey was beyond nice. It was part of his image, and he cultivated that. So that's what that question made me think of. So that's my answer. How about you?
My answer is I heard a lot of this before the season. He doesn't play anymore because he retired. Andrew Luck.
Oh, okay.
All the NFL players, I Googled, who is the nicest guy in sports?
Oh, yeah.
Or nicest guy in sports. And all the videos of the NFL are about the other NFL players talking about how Andrew Luck is the nicest guy in sports.
Okay.
Because he'll get sacked and he'll look at you and he'll say, Oh, that was a really good hit.
Oh, I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for hitting me that hard.
Unlike Tom Brady, who's the first thing he says when he gets sacked is,
where's the flag?
No, or either that or where's the ref to help me up?
Oh, yeah. Or why is my arm so noodly?
Oh, he doesn't say that. Now.
Who do you think, Thomas?
Who do you think the nicest guy is, Thomas? I mean, that's a tough question. That is.
Adam Vinatieri.
All right.
That was an underwhelming answer.
Number four.
Chris was about to blow up.
Well, I'm just tired of you picking on odd times.
I know. I am picking on him today.
Rams safety Eric Weddle is going to be playing against his former team, the Ravens, this Monday night, which you can hear right here on 97.3 The Fan. But you think this would be a big advantage for the Rams because Weddle knows a lot about the Ravens' defense. Though he said, I can't give all the secrets away. Those are my guys. I can never turn my back on my guys over there. Coach McVay knows what he's doing. He doesn't need much help. What kind of man would I be if I ratted out my guys? I played there for 3 years with. I cherish every relationship I made on the defense, on that team. The minute I say, here's all their calls, or here are all the checks, this is what I am at the end of the day. I lose everything that I gained from here, and that means more to me than anything. Here is NFL insider Chris Mortensen had to say about the incident on Ben and Woods this morning.
You know, I've talked to players about this, and I've heard mixed, and I've even heard mixed from coaches as to whether there's something really to benefit from it, and whether things have changed. And to be honest with you, in Baltimore, things have changed from when Eric was there, and that is that Greg Roman is now in command of the entire offense. The secrets he may hold on the defensive side of it with Don Martindale, the same defensive coordinator. There's some similarities, but they lost some key people. In fact, Eric Weddle being one of those key people that they lost. And if you talk to people in Baltimore last year and year before, they said it was Weddle who actually got everybody lined up right in the Ravens' defense and that he would be missed sorely. And they still missed in many ways, but what they do on offense has a way of protecting their defense. And in terms of the integrity of it, I think that's everybody's individual, whether they feel good about it or not. I respect Weddle's decision not to share anything that may be, quote, a secret. And, oh, by the way, there's almost no secrets. There's nothing new that's being run today in this league on either side of the football. It hasn't been run many times before.
So that was ESPN's NFL insider Chris Mortensen on Ben and Woods this
morning.
Good
answer, by the way, by Chris there.
Very diplomatic.
Do you guys have a problem with Eric Weddle not sharing secrets? Scraby?
Yes, I actually do. I do, because he's not... He doesn't... He doesn't play...
Because you're a hater.
No. He doesn't play for the Ravens anymore. What is he hiding? Isn't the ultimate goal for you is to have your team win the game?
He's paid by the Rams now, not the Ravens.
He's paid by the Rams.
He should do whatever he can to help the Rams win. Win at all cost, even if it means cheating and giving away secrets.
And then whenever you bring a guy in, he knew that they were going to be playing the Ravens this year. I'm thinking that that was probably something that they were thinking would they would get is some more information about the Ravens' defense and offense and all that. I find this really weird.
I don't think the Rams signed him going,
No, that's
not
what I'm
saying.
Playing
the Ravens next year, he'll give us a bunch of stuff.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but I think it's really strange that he would not do what he can to give his team the upper hand.
Okay. I disagree with you, and I want to go back to the last question, because when you asked who one of the nicest guys in sports is, I should have thought of Eric Weddle. He was one of my all-time favorite Chargers ever.
He was great.
Ever, ever, ever. So I believe he's coming from the right place on this, and where he's coming from is, let's go out and see who plays a better game on Monday night. Is it going to be us, or is it going to be them? And I don't want any extra advantages on my side. I don't want all my guys to have a bunch of extra advantages. And I also could throw my guys off with some of my information because maybe they have changed some stuff. You'd have to think they've changed some signals from last year to this year. But anyway, I think it's a pretty sporting way to behave. And I think some guys would run around and tell all their coaches all the little secrets and things. The most famous incident of all of this is 2002 Super Bowl.
John Gruden.
Where John Gruden basically knew the Raider playbook and told everybody on Tampa Bay's defense what was coming before it was coming.
Well, duh.
And Tampa Bay killed him in the Super Bowl.
I got wood if you're with me.
With you, baby.
But I can't believe you're saying this.
I can honestly understand Eric Weddle's sporting attitude about this. I really can.
This is crazy.
I think it's, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm like, yeah, this isn't the same thing, but it's similar. When I play fantasy football, I want my opponent to put his best possible lineup in against me just so it's a game. I don't want him to put a bunch of guys who are on a bye that week against me because even though, yes, I win, I don't feel like I had the right proper competition.
Put every guy against me with the bye, please.
Yeah, well, that's you. You have no scruples.
Number three.
The Raiders took a lot of heat for trading away Khalil Mack last season, but those draft picks are starting to pan out. NFL Network's Peter Schrager thinks it's the best rookie class for a single team in the last 10 years. Here he is explaining his allegations.
2019 Raiders rookies, NFL ranks out of all the rookies this season.
Are you serious?
They're number one rookie class in rushing yards, number one in reception yards, number one in scrimmage yards, number one in scrimmage TDs, number one in sacks. So who are these guys and why are they so good? Let's see some of the names. Cleve Farrell absolutely dominated that Thursday night game against the Chargers. Josh Jacobs running away with Offensive Rookie of the Year. Trayvon Mullen had the game-winning interception last week. Max Crosby had four sacks last week. Foster Moreau had a touchdown. Hunter Renfrow makes every big catch his team needs. And oh yeah, a little print there. That's Jonathan Abram, who might be the best of all of them. Right. He's been on IR since week one. And Alec Ingold, who is a rookie, undrafted free agent, is their fullback and sets the tone. They get contributions from all of them.
All right, we get it. The Raiders had a good draft.
So, do you think this is the best rookie class for a team in the last 10 years, Chris?
Yes, I have every draft class from the last 10 years at my disposal.
Oh, good.
And I looked through all of them today.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yes, and I have decided that the Raiders are the best. No, I have no idea. Yes, this has obviously worked out and been a very good draft class for the Raiders, but whether it's the best in the last 10 years, I have no idea. I brought this up to you earlier today. I do remember, here we go back in time again, but the 19...
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
Yes, and I'm now in 1974 when the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted like four Hall of Famers out of their draft. I mean, that is probably the draft of all time, but yeah, it's a very good one for the Raiders. I'm willing to say that.
Scraby, is this the best rookie class for a team in the last 10 years?
I, too, spent all my day researching
looking at everybody,
this,
yeah.
And I didn't come to a conclusion if this is the best one
so
or not.
So you wasted your time.
But I do think John Gruden did take a lot of heat for when he traded away Khalil Mack.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Right there, baby.
And I was one of those people that threw some heat at him because I thought it was crazy that he was trading away their best player for nothing. Well, not for nothing. He got a bunch of first-round picks. And I am completely eating my words in this whole thing because I think that Mike Mayock and John Gruden have really put together a really good draft. And I know that they're not they need to prove it over more years, but right now it's looking really good for the Raiders. And I've never been a Raider guy, but I'm excited to watch Raiders games. I like Josh Jacobs. I like all Hunter Renfrow. I know you're a big fan, Chris, of Hunter Renfrow, the wide receiver.
That I am.
So I like watching these young guys, and I'm pretty impressed by what they've been able to do with the picks they have.
And just think, too, they have the Bears' first-round pick next year, too.
Yeah. So sometimes it works out when you trade a guy for a bunch of draft picks. Most times, though, it doesn't.
Can we just say that the Bears are on the complete opposite end of that spectrum? They gave away so many draft picks.
Yeah, it turned out bad for them.
And they have a lot of
But you know what? They had a great season last year, and that's what they were going for. Unfortunately, as haven't been able to keep it up. I just want to mention that the 74 Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Jack Lambert, and center Mike Webster, every which one of them is a Hall of Famer, and every which one of them helped them win four Super Bowls in the 70s. That is considered the greatest draft of all time, and I'm reading from not my opinion.
I actually found 1983 as being the best draft of all time. John Elway, Eric Dickerson, Bruce Matthews, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Darryl Green.
No, I'm talking about one team.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Number two.
We surprised Chris with something today. He had no idea that Madden updates their player ratings weekly. Before the year, he had issues with DeAndre Hopkins being a 99er, and Madden has awarded another player with a 99 status. Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey is now the newest member of the 99 club, and at 23 years old is the youngest player ever to be ranked at 99. He started the year at 91 rating and has risen to 99 through the season. Is he worthy of the 99 club, Scraby?
He is definitely worthy of the 99 club because he is the best running back in the league right now. But we went and looked at Lamar Jackson's rating, and Lamar Jackson, he's the I guess the leader in the clubhouse for being the MVP this year. And Lamar Jackson's not even close to 99. I believe I said he was 87.
He started at a 76 and went up to 87.
And he went up to 87. Now Christian McCaffrey started at 91, went up to 99. So he got 8 points. And Lamar Jackson can keep climbing and all that. But I think you can't make someone a 99 unless they are absolutely by far the MVP of the league. And Lamar Jackson, I'm not saying he should be 99 either, but I also don't think Christian McCaffrey's a good, strong 98.
Chris, is McCaffrey worth being a 99?
I say to all of you who care, get a life.
Oh, come on. This is, a lot of people care about this.
And I say to all of them,
okay, fine.
Stop putting these Madden ratings and giving them any importance whatsoever. It's a game, and it's amazing to me that this stuff gets so much credit and so much attention. But you just said that a guy should be a MVP runaway of the league to be a 99, which goes along with my thing, which earlier this season said, all right, then Tom Brady should be a 99 and DeAndre Hopkins should not be a 99 because as good as he is, he's no runaway winner of any MVP. So you're kind of going back on what you said earlier.
I know.
Now.
I was just thinking that.
Yes.
I did say that,
and
too.
I took full advantage.
You did. You're schooling me in this big five.
All right. Jeopardy fans rejoice. As the popular game show announced Monday that it will have a tournament of champions, it'll be a triple threat of the best of three winner take all the most successful Jeopardy players of all time. Jeopardy James Holzhauer had a 32-game winning streak, Ken Jennings, who had the longest streak of all time with a 74-game winning streak, and Brad Rutter, who, at the time when he was on the show, the longest amount of days you could go was five. All three players have held records on the show in the show's Hall of Fame. The champion will receive $1 million and the title of the game show's greatest of all time. The runners-up will each receive $250,000. So if you were a betting man and had to pick a partner for Jeopardy, who would be your partner you'd pick? Chris?
Well, I can't take Carl Rutter because he only won five in a row. So it's got to be
Brad. But Brad has actually amassed the most amount of money in $4.7 million while his time on Jeopardy.
$4.7 million in 5 days?
No. So he's been on multiple times, won the Tournament of Champions in the past.
Oh, I see. Okay. So he deserves a spot in this. But Ken Jennings was very good, but I'm going to go with the newest guy. What's his name? I honestly don't know his name.
James Holzhauer.
Yeah. He was an encyclopedia, so I'll take him.
Scraby, who are you picking as your partner in Jeopardy?
James Holzhauer. Way too cocky for me. Not a big fan of that guy. But I am a big fan of Ken Jennings.
I like Ken Jennings, too.
He was unreal, so I'm picking
you
Ken Jennings.
You can have him. And Thomas, you get the third guy.
But let me just say.
And the thing is we'll win because I'm on my team.
Let me just say. Let me just say that is a pretty good gig for these guys. The winner gets $1 million
That's
and the runners up get $250,000.
And the winner who wins the best of three will also get his own game show that'll start in January.
Okay, well, I'm not going
to
be watching
that. I won't watch. But I will watch the Tournament of Champions if I happen to be near a television, because I like Jeopardy.
Me
and
too.
I'm very impressed with those guys.
Very good at it, too.
All right, two guys I'm not as impressed with, Odd Thomas and Matt Scraby. Both did an outstanding job today, though. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back tomorrow. We will all be at Scripps Ranch High School for our Friday program. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.